Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Father, continue to do what you're doing here this morning. Continue to minister to your people. Holy Spirit, you have full, total, complete rule and reign in this house. This is God's house, God's service. We thank you, Father God, for sending the angelic host before us this morning to be in this house and ministering. We thank you, Father, that you are high and lifted up, and you are calling us into that higher realm and to sit with you. We thank you for that, Father. Yeah, that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus and Look Fully in His Wonderful Face. I keep hearing that. And one thing the body of Christ needs to continue to do is to look into His beautiful face and keep our eyes totally and completely fastened upon Jesus and the works that He's calling us forth to do. Holy Spirit, continue to minister to your people. I am removing the blinders off of your eyes this day, and I am going to allow you to see as I see. No more will the enemy deceive you by his words or by his actions. For you shall see as I see, and you shall see all that he is doing all across this land to destroy my church. The unrest that is in the atmosphere is the darkness trying to overcome the light. My word tells you not to hide your light under a basket, but to let it shine upon the hill, and it will draw all men unto me. I am asking each of you this morning to let your light shine as never before. I am asking you this morning to come up hither, even right now, and let me minister salvation to your very soul. The lights in my houses have grown very dim, but I am calling forth those who will shine and who will destroy the darkness. How bright is your light? Does it dispel the darkness? Does it overcome all the evil that is in the land? Does it minister to the lost, the dying, and the hurting? How bright is your light is what I'm asking you this day. You sang about how much I loved you this morning. Do you really comprehend how much I truly do love you? Do you understand the fullness of the Godhead? Do you understand that I chose you out of a very dark, dark world? I set you upon a hill as a bright light to dispel that darkness. And now is the given time to shed your light abroad and break that darkness. This morning I'm going to talk about love and release the power of love. Now, if you were telling God that you have a light and that light is shining brightly, then you have this agape love that you need to go forth and break the powers of darkness over the land. have a question for you this morning. Do you really want to walk in the supernatural? Do you know why you don't walk in the supernatural? You have not learned to love. Hate is a curse, and until we get hate and bitterness out of our hearts, we will always walk under a curse. You know, God calls you. Your Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. God calls you, but has he chosen you? If you don't know how to walk in love, then God has not chosen you. But he still wants to use you. And so that's why he keeps telling us to walk in love and let all bitterness and clamor be removed from us. Colossians 3:14 says, but above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. But above all these things, put on love. If you don't have love, God has to overlook you. It doesn't matter how talented you are or how much you give to the poor and the needy, you know, whatever. If you don't have love, God can't use you. Now, to become a person whose life is transformed by the love of God, we must not only get rid of what holds us captive and keeps us in bondage, but we must be filled up with love for God, for self, and for others. You will find that the greatest release of blessing in your life will come when you begin to love unconditionally. You will find that the greatest release of blessing in your life will come when you begin to love unconditionally. When I was first born again, you know, I had a really bad marriage, and I wanted him to go to hell. That's where I was at. And my pastor worked with me for 3 months to convince me that was not right. That I had to forgive him for everything he ever did to me. And God wouldn't let me move forward until I did that. God made me go to him, kneel in front of him, and ask him to forgive me for talking about him. He was doing all manner of evil to me, but God made me go, and I was holding aught against him. But God made me go to him and humble myself and ask him to forgive me. Y'all know the story. He said, well, I don't know if I will or not. And being human, I wanted to slap him really hard as he sat there with that arrogant look on his face saying those words. But I said, God, I says, please take this feeling from me of wanting to hit him. And I stayed there for a few minutes, and I stood up. And when I did, all that hate and anger I was holding against him dropped off of my shoulders. And I walked away from him, a free woman. And I've been free ever since. When that man died, he eventually divorced me. When he died, he came to the house and he says, I'm dying. Can I please live here until I die? I said, yes. I gave him the spare bedroom and he lived at my house until he died. But I just thank God that I did not hold any aught against him, because I was living free and he was not. Because he never forgave me for talking about him. So I'm telling you guys, unless you walk in unconditional love, God can't use you. And this is what my pastor told me at that point. She said, until you learn to forgive him and forget what he did to you, God can never use you. And I knew that God had a call upon my life, and I wanted to walk in that calling. And I didn't want to be sitting back somewhere, you know, while everybody else is going forward. So I'm asking you this morning, the people who are have hurt you, the people who are still hurting you, are you holding aught against them? If you are, God can't use you. Because true love does love unconditionally. And true love won't look at what somebody's done to you. They'll see Jesus in all things. Yeah, famous pastor right now. She, you know, her father raped her every day of her life when she lived at home. And after she got born again, she had to forgive him. But eventually he came and lived in her home, and she took care of him until the day he died. She has a powerful ministry. Truly forgave and truly loved. Are you understanding this? It doesn't matter who hurt you. It does not matter what they've done to you. You have to forgive them. What did, everything that Jesus went to get to the cross, what did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And every time someone comes against you and hurts you, they really do not know what they are doing to you. And you're just going to have to let go of that junk if you want God to use you. And Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is a first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Here God commanded us to love one another, and what God commands us to do, he fully equips us to do. Are you hearing that? If God says we have to forgive and forget, then he will equip us to forgive and forget. He will equip us to walk in true love. And people will hurt you over and over and over again. God expects you to forgive them over and over and over again. Word of God says a Christian falls down seven times in one day, seven times in one day they get back up. And I said that scripture just now to say there might come times in your life when even though you've forgiven that person, Satan will bring up a thought to try to make you go back there and pick that thought up again. Don't pick it up. Go to God, repent, and then move on. There are three important reasons why we must learn to love one another. Number one, not walking in love is a sin and separates us from God and brings spiritual death to our lives. And Romans 1:29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You can't be doing any of this stuff if you're walking in love. You cannot. I mean, somebody might, you might have a thorn in your flesh. You have a person who continually does stuff to you. But you have to continually forgive them. And you have to not only forgive, but you have to love them. If you ever really look at a person, one who keeps coming against you, what's driving them? Hate. The devil, you know. It's not love, it's hate. And the enemy is using them to bombard you to try to make you get out of the love walk so then he has you. And you must always remember that nobody is worth losing your salvation over. Absolutely nobody or no action. It is not. We have to work out our own salvation. Jesus forgave me. Jesus always forgives me. You say that to yourself. So you have to forgive others. What's the Bible say? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you can't forgive others, then Jesus can't forgive you. That's in your word. So why are you walking around in unforgiveness? The church is really bad for not really loving. You know, you can't really say anything to anybody in the church because they immediately, you know, if you're trying to correct them, they immediately get offended. You know, and you've talked to them and talked to them and they're still doing the same thing. They immediately get offended and then they start coming against you by the thoughts in your head. And then you have to fight what the enemy can do through their thoughts or even through their actions or their mouth. And the enemy does that to keep you bound up so that you're constantly fighting battles you shouldn't be fighting and you're not able to hear God's voice and do what God is calling you to do. You know, I was just reading a prophetic word God put out 2 days ago. And he said one thing the enemy's doing right now is really working really super hard in families. You know, God is trying to bring families together, and the enemy is doing everything he can in his power to pull the families apart. And what is the enemy using? The same old tactics, the same things that he's been using for maybe 5 years. He's still pulling on those things because he knows he can get you through those things. You need to forget what happened yesterday and move on to tomorrow. Don't even worry about what happened today. Tomorrow's a brand new day. Don't carry whatever goes on today into tomorrow. You know, the reason why we go through all the trials and tribulations that we go through is because we can understand then when somebody else is going through bad times. If you would never go through bad times, you could never minister to anybody because you don't understand where they're coming from. I can guarantee if you're going to be a leader, then you're going to go through a whole lot of things that you never thought you'd go through. And it's through these tests and trials that God then he perfects you. So then you won't be so judgmental on those people that are bound in sin, but you will see them through the eyes of Jesus, and then you'll be able to walk through their mess with them. All right? But you have to see everybody through the eyes of Jesus. We need to understand when we hurt others, we also hurt Jesus. Are you hearing that? Are you the apple of God's eye? The Bible says you are. And so if somebody's hurting you, they're hurting who? Jesus, because you're the apple of his eye, right? And the same way if you're hurting somebody else, I don't care if this person's in sin. They're still God's child, and God's trying to draw them out of the sin into his marvelous light, but he needs a light to minister to that darkness. All right? Are you understanding that? Do you think Jesus enjoyed going to the cross for you? Well, I should say, do you think he enjoyed the beating that he had to go through to get to the cross, is what I should have said. No, he did not. We all know that by how he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, God, if it's, take this cup from me. He didn't want to do what he had to do. He didn't want to go through all the beating and everything else he had to go through. But he did it for what? For love. So maybe you have a friend that's really a mess. And sometimes you get tired of being around that friend because they're so messed up. But if we're going to do what Jesus did, then we're going to stick to that friend until they get unmessed up. And some people are truly messed up bad. But the reason why they are is because everybody keeps walking away from them. Nobody wants to pay the price of staying with them to see them come through. After all, why should I have to put up with them? They're messed up. Well, after all, somebody put up with you when you were messed up, right? See, this is where we need to come from. Somebody put up with all your junk until you were finally loved through your junk and you became a child of God. A leader needs to understand that, and they need to understand that if you can't love the people you're around, then you're not a true leader. All right? All right, number two, not walking in love is satanic. Revelation 12:10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Now, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and his job is to point his finger at God's people and stir up strife among them. So then when we sow discord among believers, we are taking on the very nature and tactics of Satan himself. I know people can look you in the face and be so sweet to you and tell you they love you, and it drips out of their tongue, but when they're not in your face, they're talking about you. How dare they say that to me? How dare they do that? You know, you're sowing discord. Quit doing that. If you have something to say to somebody, go say it to them. You know, and just let God take care of it. But let's not go around to smile at somebody's face and go behind their back and talk about him. That's not godly. You'll find out being a leader, you're going to have to confront. And confronting is never easy. It's really hard. And if you're like me, I have to really pray myself up before I confront. I put up with a lot before I confront. And then when I do, I thought, you know, because I hate to do that. But, you know, one time I said to God, how do you run a church? I don't know. And he said, you run it just like you do a business. And I'd run a few businesses, so I knew that you had to confront to keep everybody in line, to make sure everybody was doing their job, right? And this is what you have to do in the body of Christ, but you do it with love. You know, and all you're trying to do is to teach people and to lead them in the right direction, right? I hope that's what you're trying to do, and you're not trying to lord it over them. It takes a lot of love in order to minister to other people. Because if you have love, then you have patience. Right? And without love, you don't have patience. Sometimes recently I've said to my family, just go leave me alone, because right now my patience has worn out. and I might say or do something I don't want to say or do. So then I pray into them. I feel pain. Sometimes I think, some give me a nerve pill. That pill doesn't help nothing, does it? I mean, I don't take them. But you know what you need is you need Jesus to reinforce the love walk in you. And then your patience won't wear out so quickly. Amen. Where am I at? We on number three. All right, so the third thing is not walking in love is self-destructive. And Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Unchrist-like behavior chokes off the blessing of God from our lives. Unchrist-like behavior chokes off the blessing of God from our lives. If you sow love, you will reap love. If you sow discord, you will reap discord. God's getting ready to pull the rug out. I'm just hearing this. I'm going to say it. He's getting ready to pull out the rug out from underneath some people in churches because they really don't want to do what they're supposed to do. But if they're confronted, then they get all upset and obnoxious, and God's not going to deal with that no more. As I have a prophetic word at home right now. They tell me, he said, I am separating the sheep from the goat. And I'm going to burn up the chaff. I can no longer have this kind of stuff in the house of God. The world does not want to come into a house of God that's messed up. They already have all that kind of stuff on the outside. The world wants to come into a building and feel the love of God vibrating from every wall in the building. When they walk through the door, they want to feel the love of God just consume them as they walk through the door. And if you have a lot of discord in the house of God, you don't have any of that. All right? You know, when I first started the church, I started in my home. And the Spirit of God was so strong in my home that people could hardly even walk through the door. But then through the years, about 35 years or 40 years, something like that, the drugs started coming in my house through my children, and all kind of discord, lying, and deceitfulness. And I felt it slowly but surely. The Holy Spirit just started backing out of my home. And right now he's not in my home because of all the demonic activity that others have brought into my home. Now, they don't want to admit to that, but they are the reason why the discord is going on in the home, is because they will not drop the darkness. They want to hold on to the darkness. All right? What do I do? Do I throw a fit? No, I don't throw a fit. I have to keep in the face of Jesus to hear his voice on how to handle this darkness that has consumed my home. Some of you know your homes are consumed with darkness, not because of you, but because of the people that come in and out of your home. So, you know, you have to constantly go around and pray, you know, and anoint and get that residue out of your home. All right. So I said, not walking in love is self-destructive. All right, to know more of the love of God in our lives, we must love those who have hurt us. I have to keep loving those that will not take the darkness out of their lives and keep it in my home. And those who have sinned against us. That's sinning against me whenever you come into my home and you usurp my authority and you do things the way you want to do it. Isn't that true? Yeah, that is sinning against me. That is the kind of love Jesus has for each of us. It is easy for us to accept God's love for us. You hear that? It is easy for us to accept God's love for us, but it's so hard for us to love someone else. We were all sinners at one point. In fact, sometimes we're still sinners because we are not perfected yet, and there are things we do and say that are not godly. But God chose to love us even when we did not love him in return. Do you understand that God, the one that you can't love, God loves them really, really deep? He really does. Because he sees the torment that they're going through. He sees that they're bound and in bondage. And he knows that they need love more than they need anything else. Right? Or just think about it. Whenever you were in the world, you didn't need somebody to reject you, did you? You needed somebody to accept you right where you were at and then love you through all that junk to get you to the place where God wants them to be, or he wanted you to be, right? But the body of Christ has this notion that, all right, if you're not all cleaned up, we don't want anything to do with you. You'd expect you when you walk through the door and you hear sing one song, okay, boy, you're safe now, and now get it together. And then we just walk past them, and that's not true. All God asks is that we love others with the same love which he loved us. When you choose to love, who wins? You win. No matter what anyone has done to you, through Jesus Christ, you can let go of your bitterness and love them. You know, if I hadn't gone through what I went through, I would not be able to teach you this. If I wasn't walking through what I'm walking through right now, I would not be able to teach you this. But I know what my Father can do, and I know you can love the unlovable. I know that you can love those who persecute you and speak all manner of evil about you behind your back. They don't have the guts to come to your face. They wait till you walk out of the room, then they talk about you. Isn't that the way it works? But, you know, God gives us the strength to go ahead and go keep loving those people even though they're doing us harm. When we need to forgive others who have wronged us, we should focus on these promises from the Bible in Joel 2:25. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. And Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. If you're truly walking in the love walk, you will be reading God's scriptures. You're going to be talking to him and remind him of what he's promised you while you're going through your mess with a person who's being very ungodly to you. Somebody has to minister to the messed up people. And God is trying to get a group of people who will truly walk in love and truly minister to those people. All right, right now think of the person you are finding difficult to forgive and love. Give them to God and leave the outcome in his hands. Right now think of the person you are finding difficult to forgive and love. Give them to God and leave the outcome in his hands. God will always bring justice and make everything turn out for good. Your part is not to bring vengeance, but to keep your own heart right with God. He will take care of the rest. People are going to slander you. Didn't they slander Jesus? People are going to slander you. So why are you getting all upset when people do that? I'm sorry, but you're not all that bag of chips and then some that everybody in the world's going to love you. You know, we're all unlovable at times. Every one of us, including me, we're all unlovable at times. So why are we so hard on others when they need our love? Your responsibility is to love your enemies and to do good to them who despitefully use you. These are hard. I know. I'm walking through it. It's very hard. And sometimes you're just going to have to close your bedroom door and get in here and pray. You just, because you're all alone. And you're going to have to just pray. And ask God to bring you through this. Ask God to give you the love that it's going to take to deal with the things that you have to deal with. Someone once asked Abraham Lincoln why he was so kind to his enemies when he had the power to destroy them. And he responded, "Sir, don't I destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" See that? Love is a witness. The Bible does not say they will know we are Christians because we wear a cross around our neck or because we carry a Bible or raise our hands in worship. It doesn't say that. The evidence of our Christianity is that we have love for one another, and you find that in John 13:35. That's how people will know that we are truly God's children, is how we have love for other people. When we mistreat other people, the world has every right to question whether or not we are Christians. I was witnessing something to somebody the other day, and they didn't believe there was a hell, and so, you know, I sit down, I thought, this is a good opportunity. So I was talking to them, and they said, "You know, you really do walk in the Spirit. Some people say they do, but you really do have a relationship with God, and you really do walk in the Spirit because you love everybody no matter what they've done to you. You still give and give and give, and that's truly a child of God." You know, you never know who's watching you. You never know of what they're thinking as they're watching you. And you never know when God's going to use you to speak to them. And because they witness Christ in you, turn them around. You just never know that. Love begins with a choice. We need to ask ourselves continually, who am I representing today? Jesus, the lover of all mankind, or Satan, the accuser of their brethren? I see the accuser of their brethren all the time, don't you? Yeah, in your home, on the streets, in church, in your workplaces. You see the accuser of the brethren all the time. Where is Jesus, the lover of all mankind? Church, we have a responsibility. We need to show everybody we come in contact with the love of Jesus. That's our responsibility. And if we're not doing that, you know, you won't show love to people. You get all upset with people. And then, oh, God, use me, use me, use me. He's not going to use you. He just isn't. What did the prophet say? Bob Jones, remember, he went to heaven. And God said to him, go back and tell the people, the first question I'm going to ask them is, did you learn to love? And if you didn't learn to love, he's going to tell you to depart. He doesn't know you. God is love. Yes, he's a God of wrath too, but the very first characteristic of God is love. And if you truly, truly sit down and look at your life, you'll say, he really does love you. Some people don't want to look back and see where God brought you from, because if you do, then you have to admit that God really does love you, and then you're going to have to walk in that with other people because God did it with you. But really and truly, I think it's time you do. You know, God says don't dwell on your past, but I think it's time that you're so cocky and so easy to judge somebody else. I think it's time you stop thinking where you were at and what God brought you through, and it was only his love that brought you through. All right? Love is the victory. Jesus didn't suffer the pain, agony, and humiliation of the cross because he wanted revenge. He made himself to be our sacrifice out of love for people, and through this act of love, Satan was defeated. Jesus made himself to be our sacrifice out of love for people. And through this act of love, Satan was defeated. You know, my first husband, he got married again and he brought his wife to my home. Not once, but two or three times. And she said to me, she says, why did he divorce you? And I said, you have to ask him that. She said, I see absolutely nothing wrong with you. Your most loving, kind, forgiving person I've ever run across. And she said, you let him come back into your home, bringing me with him, and treating him like he never did anything wrong to you. I said, well, she went to church. She's passed away now, but she went to church, but she wasn't really saved. You know, didn't believe in the Holy Spirit and none of that stuff. And she gossiped and all that kind of stuff. But she says, I just don't understand. I said, why he divorced you? I said, well, you have to ask him that. I wasn't going to tell her. If she couldn't figure that out, that was her problem, right? Not mine. But she saw Christ, what I'm getting at, she saw Christ in me. And she said, I don't think I could ever be you. I couldn't do this. It's because I love God. And love is in me. Because if it wasn't, God couldn't use me. And I'm not going to let anything he did or she said cause me to lose my walk with God. It doesn't matter if they can't figure you out. You're supposed to be peculiar people. Right? You're not supposed to blend in with the world. You're supposed to be different. And so if you're not different and people aren't questioning what things you do, then I would go back and check my salvation. All right, don't get rebaptized. That doesn't work. All right, you have to spend time in the presence of God and have him reveal your heart to you, and then let him cleanse you of all evil. So no matter how terribly someone has hurt you, you can release the blessing of love toward them. When you do this, you get blessed, and so do they. Remember, no matter how terribly someone has hurt you, you can release a blessing of love toward them. When you do this, you get blessed, and so do they. You know, I know there's so many men raping their children. That is a shame. That makes me sick to my stomach. Men and women do this to their children. I met a woman one time who raped every boy she ever had. And she thought that was fine. And so, well, I said that to say this. So whoever, if you're in here or you know somebody else that their father has raped them, tell them to forgive them. Because I know they hurt you. I know they did terrible things to you. But you're binding yourself up by not forgiving them. Now, you know, God told me I had to go and ask my husband to forgive me. But if God doesn't ask you to go to that person and say, forgive me, forgive them in your heart. Truly forgive them in your heart. You know, there's so many drugs out there. And people's minds are so messed up. Now, men raping their daughters has been going on forever. It was going on when I was going to school. My best friend, her father, she had 5 children to her father before they finally made her quit school. And she would never tell me what was going on to her when she wasn't in school. And one day I went down to visit her and she said all the children were from her father. He was raping her continually. Sick, 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 sick. So ladies, if you're one of those where somebody, and it could be anybody, an uncle, anybody raped you, you need to tell God you forgive them. I mean, truly forgive them. Get all that junk out of your life so you can go on and do the things God's calling you for to do. And I do believe there's even boyfriends will rape you, gang rape on the street. You know, you can't hold aught against those people. You can't get angry with God either. You just can't. Yes, God knew that was going to happen to you. And why did it happen? I don't know. Why did he allow things to happen to Job that happened to Job? Why did Paul have to go with the heathen? I don't know. In fact, to me, that's senseless to even worry about that kind of stuff. What you're concerned about is what's going on in your heart. You know what you're feeling. And you need to set yourself free. You know, don't concern yourself about why God let all those things happen to those people. Why did Jesus go to the cross for you? Maybe Paul went through all his suffering so he would have compassion for the other people. I don't know, and I really don't care. I don't need to delve into that because there's too many things that we need to face on a daily basis that is important. And those are the things that we need to be seeking God's face about. All right. If you stop and think about it, just really stop and think about life, guys. I did this last night. I said, God, you know, we're just a bunch of peculiar, well, not peculiar people, but we're just a bunch of misfits. The whole world. Families, you know, people get married and, you know, they're just trying to get it together. They're trying to raise kids. Everybody's trying to figure things out. But God gives us his word that if we read his word, he teaches us how to do these things. But until we read the word and understand that, we're out there trying to do things on our own, figure things out on our own. And we've messed our lives up. You know, when I got married, I didn't even know a thing about sex because then nobody talked about that. And trying to walk through that was a mess. You know, so that's what I'm saying. You know, even today, with society the way it is, the parents of the kids around here, like you kids here, your parents weren't good parents. They did not know the word the way they should have known it. That, you know, they didn't teach you the right way to do things. I mean, not there's parents that do that, but most parents don't because they were on drugs and they were messed up themselves, and they were just doing the best they could do, right? And so here we are. Then we're a bunch of messed up people, and we're trying to lead everybody else. But until we really learn about the love walk and that God did everything he did for us because of love, he didn't have to create the universe. He didn't have to put you in your mother's womb and bring you forth. Maybe sometimes you wished he wouldn't have, but he didn't have to do that, you know, but he did. And he did it for, you are here for a purpose. And until we really seek God's face and understand what our purpose is and understand how God's really using us, we're going to walk around just willy-nilly, just doing what we hope is the best thing to do. And because we are a people who don't understand life. I was just telling Teresa last night, I said, you know, we should have a new church, a bigger church, and we need to get programs going. you know, to teach people things. And then that's what this is what the church is for. We should be having people, you know, having programs and different programs and teach people how to live with God and not with the world. Is that making sense to you all this morning? So the biggest thing is today is to really learn to love. And you know, we all have our faults. We all have our flaws. And, you know, if your person is prideful and can't take correction, then you just don't need to be in a place of leadership. You need to step down because God can't ever use you because you never walk in true love. You walk in pretend love. This is hard sometimes to grasp. Lord, I thought all my life I was a loving person. Then all of a sudden I found out I'm not, you know. You know, I hope that each one of you here today will forgive those who hurt you. And I'm going to tell you, it's been hard recently because, you know, my first husband hurt me a lot. And then my second husband, he had his flaws. And, you know, I just, you know, walked through all that. But all of a sudden, the enemy's dredging all that thoughts up. I mean, everything they've ever done has been dredged up. I thought, I didn't even see it when it was going on. You know what I'm saying? But the enemy's bringing it all, you know, full-blown 3D. And I have to then start forgiving these people. They're dead. But I have to start forgiving them all over again or even saying, God, please forgive me. I'm going to quit in just a second, honey. He's watching the time. You know, I just have to ask God, please forgive me for not understanding the fullness of what I was walking through. And maybe you're the same way. You know, the devil brings the thoughts back. Oh, it was that bad, was it? You know? Do you know how to love? That's spelled L-O-V-E, cross, C-R-O-S-S. Love hung on the cross. So this morning, God wants to set you free from your past hurts and your past pains. Period. In. If he can't get you free from that, then you'll never walk in love. And it really, it's not hard to let go. It really isn't. Once my pastor taught me, if you don't let go of this, then you might as well walk right on out the church door because God will never use you. And she knew God was wanting to use me. And so I had to make up my mind, okay, I'm going to go in there and ask him to forgive me because I talked about him. It was easy from that point on. And now, then I was free. Do you want to be free this morning? Do you want to be free from all that pain and all that hurt? Then the altar's open for that. Because God truly does want to set you free this morning. And I wrote down here, are you ready to let go? Because when you come to the altar, you have to be ready to let go. It's just not because I just spoke something, but you in your heart need to say, I've carried this bondage too long, and this thing's killing me, and I don't want to die and go to hell.